In the Sanzen room, we pulled up the carpet that had been there for many years because it was moldy as a result of getting wet and drying off, getting wet and drying off. And it was creating difficulties for others in terms of breathing and so forth, including myself, who sits in there for an extended period. We replaced it with a smaller area rug. Unfortunately, the small area rug that it was replaced with is shedding fibers all the time. Since we sit on the ground, the cushions, afus, avatans are put on the ground. This gets onto the safu, zavatans, gets onto robes. It's difficult to get rid of, but very easy to see since it's white against, well, very light colored against a black set of robes or a dark set of okesa. In some ways, it's like our life where we shed all sorts of attachments, all sorts of delusions about self, other, past, present, future, onto our life, and they stick. And in that, they sometimes blind us, hinder us in being who and what we are. There's a phrase in the Diamond Sutra, which many of you are aware of or familiar with because it's in a nice case in one of the koan collections. It's more than one place. Past mind doesn't exist. Present mind doesn't exist. Future mind doesn't exist. So though that's so, we often find ourselves in our life, in our sitting, in all sorts of events, clinging to what past life seems to have shed into this moment, what the future seems to have shed, what all aspects of the present seem to have shed, and these stick to us. Stick to us in the sense that they result in difficulties in our daily function. They create hindrances in our seeing, in our hearing, in our responding. Instead of being this original face that we are, this all sorts of words we could use, true nature, Buddha nature, even more so, instead of swallowing up the whole universe in our self of this moment, in our experiencing the myriad dharmas, we create all sorts of shed selves into this present moment, shed selves of what does he do, why doesn't she, why couldn't I, shed pasts which we cling to, bring up, shed futures. We don't do this in any conscious sense most of the time, but it's a result of the cause and effect way that we become entangled in what arises, passes, including all sorts of body-mind attachments that we believe, that we redirect this whole universe, this one universe that we are, where self, other, and all sorts of dualisms don't blind us. And yet they do blind us. These dualisms create trouble because we can't be where we are. We can't respond as this moment. Not can't, I should say. Don't. We can, but we can't be other than that. Just this doesn't mean moment added to it. As soon as we add moment in the way, we're already pointing to the ways that we break up our life. And yet, being as is, as this is, we naturally manifest as this, except that all the things that we shed into this moment, all the things that we use the expression entangling, become hindrances in front of our face, literally, to seeing, sensing, experiencing oneself. We use all sorts of There's various ways we have of speaking of this, just as we have ways of, we speak of greed, anger, and ignorance. We speak of various other formulations to help us clarify and see the specific aspects of this, the specific flavors of what we're entangling in, to enable us to sense, so to speak, from the inside out, where we are clinging to what we are believing at this moment, which sheds, has shed onto this moment from all sorts of aspects of her life and continues to be clung to, not by themselves, but us. All we have is what we cling to. Their arising and passing is just cause and effect, and as a result of cause and effect, they appear, they disappear. No problem, except that we decide, I like this one, I don't like that one. We decide this one needs to be taken care of now, even though I'm in the midst of doing this or that. Our thoughts that keep appearing, or emotion thoughts, which give us a broader sense of this process that we are, becomes the truth of our thought instead of the, if I say it, the non-thought that's always who we are. That is the very nature of this emotion, thought. So instead of being where we are, instead of being with whom we are, we're with the bits of, that have shed from the so-called past and so-called future, so-called present, so-called stories. They are never the problem, because it's always our functioning and our clinging to them that makes them have the ability to get in the way, to be in the way. Our clinging to them, our holding to them, our believing them, let us say dualistically, our clinging to them in terms of, I like that, oh, that one, why can't I be with that one? And all sorts of, whether we call them fears or whether we call them desires, they blind us to the, I'll say, the facts of the moment, and they feed imaginations of all sorts. They nurture fears about what is, would, could happen, should not happen. And if we don't notice them for what they are, then they run us. They run us in all sorts of ways. They run us in anger. They run us in hatred even. They run us in fears of imagined futures, pasts, could've, should've. Therefore, we must practice. What must we do? Simply be exactly where we are. We don't have to get rid of anything, but be able to notice our expectations of right now in the midst of right now. Notice our imagination desires in the midst of what's presented up to us right here to eat, experience, live, so that we don't taste the world that we are. Though I say world, it's really me and the world are not two. There is no me tasting the world. If you want, you could say the world tastes us. If you want to say the world tastes the world, tastes this. And yet as soon as we get in the way, we get to notice what we're doing to this moment. What we're doing with what's right here in front of us to take care of. And this is the reason practice is always so, if I use the word, easy. Because we don't have to engage any of these so-called shed pasts, shed futures, shed presents. We don't have to engage any of these shed fears or shed angers or confusions. Or at least we have to notice every time we do that so that we can release what we hold of them. So, not so that, but in that, being right here allows us to release them and therefore be the, you want me to say, whole universe that our life is at this moment. We, in a sense, notice them so that we can then be the experiencing of this world of, I can say just this world, or I can say this world of Buddha nature, or I can say all sorts of things, as long as those don't shed further. So, when events arise, the shedding of in the form of expectations and desires continues to arise for us until they are seen for the transparency they are. Seen through in being transparent, there ceases to be anything for us to hold on to. They come, go. They fill the sky with clouds, or the sky is clear and not a cloud is seen. Or the clouds themselves are seen for the sky that they are. To seen as the clouds that they are this moment, not different from this sky that we always are. And if they're not different, we are not hindered by them, but rather can manifest in accord with circumstances, compassion. We can manifest the universe. We can manifest, if I use even more stinky words, our original face. Anytime, anywhere. The whole universe is just ourselves, and we are nothing but the whole universe taking care of right here, right now. Thank you. Keep this short this afternoon because there's many of you here for me to see. Thank you for coming.